السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ثم أما بعد، إن صحيح البخاري عن مسلم، عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنه، the companion of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم، who embraced Islam 7 years after the hijrah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم to Medina. Before his hijrah, Amr ibn al-As was committed to fighting against the message of Islam. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened his heart to the da'wah. He came and he gave his shahada to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recognizing the leadership skills of Amr ibn al-As, he assigned him for a military expedition and he went as the head of that group, even though many of them were Muslims way before Amr ibn al-As became that person, that Muslim. When he came back, he was kind of surprised and impressed why the Prophet ﷺ chose him for that position. And he thought there must be something in it. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, man ahabbu an-nasi ilayk? Who is the most beloved to you? Now I guess all of us, we think that the answer would be, according to Amr ibn al-As, would be you. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being as-sadiq al-masduq, means he's truthful. He always tells the truth, regardless of the circumstance situation. He was asked a very simple question. Who was the most beloved to you? With no hesitation, he said, Aisha. That means the Prophet ﷺ was very natural, spontaneous. And if you ask any woman what she likes about her husband, to be spontaneous. That if he's going to be nice, he's not going to fake it. I want you to think of me as your nature. Just always think about these issues. When you give a gift, natural. You don't have to think about it. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that person. He said, Aisha. Now Amr ibn al-As, he said, no, I didn't mean that. I'm saying amongst men. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, her father, which means not you yet. Her father. He didn't say Abu Bakr. He could say that. He could say Abu Bakr. But he said, her father. And then he asked about more people. Then he didn't see his name in the list. He stopped asking. The point is that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he loved Aisha genuinely. And when he asked the question, he gave an honest answer. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. But how did the Prophet ﷺ show that love to Umm al-Mu'mineen, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha? In last night's sessions about rethinking romance, I personally spoke about the definition of love, what does it mean? And we mentioned the sentiments of love, how they develop, what's the meaning of it, the ruling of it in Islam, and so on. And some people, they came with the impression that, mashallah, it's so beautiful, it's so nice. But then I would keep saying, until you get married, you'll always be living in a phase of a fairy tale. That everything is gonna be nice and beautiful, work out because you're in love. Once you get married, just like Sheikh mentioned, it's a long process. It is something that you need to work so hard on it in order to prove that this love really works and you really deserve it. Now, in order to rationalize the concept of love, marriage therapists have developed many theories. Of the most popular theories of love, well, they call it the bank account theory and the gas tank theory. When you say bank account theory, that means that when a husband and wife, they get married, or at least when a man and woman, they engage or start a relationship, what they do, they open a love account with the other party. So in this case, let's say a husband and wife, they get married, they open this now account with each other way before even they got deep into this relationship. The moment they met each other, the moment they agreed on pursuing that relationship in marriage, that's when they open the account. And everybody will present his best. Definitely in that relationship, that engagement period, everybody's going to show what the best what they have. So he will be depositing in this account of good deeds. And she will be depositing as well. Deposit like what? Acts of service, being nice, kind, beautiful words, and so on. But then when they get married, they take it for granted, they get used to it slowly and gradually, that those beautiful feelings start disappearing. Why? Because we don't put so much deposit as we used to be in the past. What we do now, we're withdrawing more than we're depositing. So if you would like to have this successful relationship, you're going to need to continue with that. The gas tank theory, it just like represents the marital relationship, like couple driving one car, where the man will be probably driving and the wife will be in the passenger seat, and as they drive on the highway, usually the way men and women think in the relationship, kind of a little bit different. And just to give you now a rough, you know, estimate of how men and women think differently about this subject, when it comes to driving, with the gas prices being high and all these things and so on, how often do guys stop to refill? If you check, you know, I made actually a lot of statistics and a lot of surveys, and if I ask the men, when do you guys usually stop, when do you stop to fill gas? When it's empty. Usually when the light goes on, that's when they stop. And if I ask women, when do ladies usually go to stop to refill? Ladies, the majority when it's half tank. Why is that? Men, they say, as long as it's running, don't touch it. And in a marital relationship, they do the same thing. As long as everything is going smooth, you don't have to do anything to it. Women, they like to stop very often to review, to have more assurance. And they want to make sure everything is going fine. Men, they're more practical in this regard. As long as everything is going fine, don't even try to touch it. Now, in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like what we've seen in these theories, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best example in presenting himself as the perfect husband, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. What do women really mean by love? It's not now that those words, empty words, that a husband will just say to his wife. How many times a wife said to her husband something that he probably felt offended by, and then he came back again saying, honey, you know how much I love you. But then her response to this would be, you're lying. Because if you love me, then go and pick up the trash, or go and do such and such things. The meaning of this, even this is something trivial, but she means, I want you to prove it. Show me that you love me. Show me that you really love me by doing acts of service. In a survey that I found on a Christian website that discusses the subject of marriage and marital relationship, if it was, subhanAllah, if you don't know the generic of these statistics, you'll find it just like in every society, in every religious group, they have the same meanings. And they asked both men and women, particularly women, what are their experiences about, you know, a relationship, and what do they prefer in a prospect, you know, for a relationship, for marriage. And number one, the top priority they placed, the top priority, they say, number one, growing Christian. That means religious. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. Number two, they say active in church. That means to be active in da'wah. Someone who is, you know, cares about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the subject goes to loving God and so on. Then they go to other things like any other woman would desire to have in a husband. To be acts of service, being kind, being gentle, spontaneous, and so on. And I would like to share with you, inshallah ta'ala, some of the stories of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his lifestyle with his wife, to show you how natural was the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi, and how he expressed his love sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a very practical manner. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi always presented himself to his family. When they need him, he was always there for them. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi, kana fi mihnati ahlihi. He was always in the service of his family. If they need him, he was there. Even she mentioned specific things. She said, "Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." He used to sweep the house, means just clean the house. Sometimes he would do that, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to fix his own shoe or slippers, meaning like nowadays you do your own shirt, do your own laundry sometimes. Kana sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi mihnati ahlihi, always there presenting himself for them. فإذا حضرت الصلاة خرج. When it's time for salah, he just goes out. When it's time to worship, he's there worshiping Allah Azza wa Jal. When he's at home, he's always around there for them. He even serves them the food, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, وَيَعْمَلُ مَا يَعْمَلُ الرِّجَالُ فِي بُيُوتِهِمْ. He would do around the house the chores that any man probably would do. That was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We always have that image of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being a great messenger of Allah, and we don't think of him as a human being sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't humanize that image for us to emulate, and we always have that excuse, he was above that level salawatullahi wa sallamu alayhi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I said earlier, he was very spontaneous. Meaning he's very natural. He knows what his wife needs. And this is something all women, they love in a husband. So we see that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he travels, he knows how traveling is actually a boring, probably, process for women. If you see, when men and women, I'm sure many of you, they came driving, probably, or flying. But for those who drove the distance to this area, may Allah reward you for everything. When you were preparing to come over here, the man is kind of stressed out about reaching on time, and the woman taking her time preparing for the journey. Then when they go into the car, the woman usually wants to use the time wisely, meaning it's time to connect. So she wants to socialize, she wants to talk, she wants to speak with her husband. And the man, he always looks into his watch, he checks the time, how many miles left. Eventually it becomes like a journey that is coming from Jahannam. The woman, she wants to enjoy the time, and the husband, he needs less stops as much as possible. Even if the kids wants to go to the bathroom, he says, can you hold it a little bit? Why? About 50 miles, inshallah, that will be there. And Rasulullah ﷺ, he used to care about this. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she reported many times that Rasulullah ﷺ, as they traveled, he would go all the way back where the women are, and he would go and he start riding besides Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, chit-chatting with her, speaking with her. Why? It's a long journey, it's boring. And she wants companionship. And there was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for her. Sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knows that she needs, she needs to be playful on that journey. So he sends the whole caravan forward, just go. And he just starts walking with his wife, speaking, probably having fun, talking together. And then at some point he would say, let's race. Yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would take that chance at that time when no one is watching them, everybody's far away from them, he'd say, let's race. And she would love that. She even reported two incidents. The first time, she won the race. And she was very happy and excited about it. But then she said after some time, and she gave her excuse, فَلَمَّا كَبُرْتُ وَحَمَلْتُ اللَّهَمْ, I gained some weight, telling you that I lost anyway. So she said, we tried that again, and she lost. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he remembers the first time, he says, هَذِهِ بِتِلْكُ, one by one. Which means there has to be a tiebreaker. We have no reports for tiebreakers, but at least we know that they had fun when they did that, salawatullahi wa sallamu alayhi. In the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he allowed having fun in the house, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even pranks in the house of Rasulullah were allowed. One time Aisha, she reports that she was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that journey, and she knew that the Prophet at some point during the journey, he would come all the way back to chit-chat with her. So she was with Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she said, let's switch. Which means, let's switch positions. She switched from her camel to the camel of Safiya, and they had Hawdaj on the camel. Hawdaj is a small tent where women will be protected from the sun, from the heat, from the dust, and so on. So Safiya was on the camel of Aisha, and Aisha was on the other camel right now. And when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back and he was chit-chatting with her, when I was reading the hadith, I was wondering how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam couldn't figure it out. It means that she was probably pretending to be Aisha. She was trying to speak like Aisha would do. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't even figure that out. Until a specific, when they reached a specific position in the journey, the Prophet ﷺ ordered for the caravan to stop and to establish the camp, and he ordered for Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha's tent or hawdaj to be placed in his quarter. Who was there? The other wife. Aisha didn't know about that until she found herself alone in her tent. And she said, oh my God, what have I done to myself? Even the hadith, she said that she felt so jealous that she put her foot, her heel, on al-idkhir, which is a desert bush, and she said, hus, which means if something can bite me, I cannot take it anymore. She exposed herself to a situation of jealousy like this, radiallahu ta'ala anha. in another incident that was reported in Sahih al-Bukhari as well. Aisha reported that she wasn't that good cook. She knows and she admits, she said, I wasn't that perfect cook. Hafsa was a better cook. So she said one time she cooked a dish called khabisa. And Sauda was there. Sauda was the age of probably her mother, if not even her grandmother. She was older than her. And Sauda was from the camp of Aisha. They were in the house of Rasulullah ﷺ together. And Rasulullah was sitting in the middle. So Aisha, she presented the food. And then she said, Bismillah, they start eating. Rasulullah was eating. Aisha was eating. Sauda was not touching the food. So Aisha said, why don't you eat? Sauda said, I don't like it. And then Aisha, she said, which means you better eat, otherwise I'm going to smear your face with it. Eventually, Sauda, she said, no, I'm not eating. Aisha did it. She took some, and she smeared the face of Sauda with that. And Rasulullah was there. So he was smiling, and his knee was in the middle, basically. So he put his leg down, and he gestured to Sauda with a smile, retaliate. So that's what she did. She grabbed some, she put on the face of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And they were having these fun moments in their lives. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's, again, household was a very normal, natural household. And they were living a true love story. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was a very gentle man. You know, these days people, they present themselves gentlemen by opening the door for their wives, presenting the food for them, being there and serving and so on. And that was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they eat, he always remembers his wife. So one time he sees Aisha radiallahu anha drinking from a cup. Then he goes, can you hand me this cup? So she gave it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turned the cup around to where she had her lips. And he put his lips on the same spot while she's watching. Isn't this romantic? It is so beautiful. Another incident, she had a bite from a piece of meat, and the Prophet ﷺ, she gave it to the Prophet ﷺ, and he did the same thing. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. A show of love in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even when he is fasting, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, he won't forget about giving her goodbye kiss and the welcome kiss. Aisha reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كان يقبل بعض نسائه وهو صائم. He used to kiss some of his wife when he's fasting, and she would giggle. You know why? When she was reporting the story, she would say, Rasulullah used to kiss some of his wife, and she would laugh. What does that mean? Can't you figure it out? She's speaking about herself. Even some of the ulama, later on some of the tabi'een, they went to Aisha. They went to Salama, actually, or Zainab, I'm sorry. They went to Zainab and they said, you know, the Prophet asked him, did he ever kiss his wife when he's fasting? And they said, no, he doesn't do that. Then they were told, but Aisha said that he used to do that. Then they said, maybe with her, but not with me. So even that moment, that time, when the Prophet is fasting, on the way out to the salah, to the masjid, he would kiss his wife, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he would leave. And when he comes back, she said the first thing he would do, he would clean his mouth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the siwak. Meaning, he would give now, he would prepare himself to meeting his spouse, and then he go and he give her that welcome kiss, and then he mind his business, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had that loving relationship to the last minute in his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu anha, she expressed that love to the last minute of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the story of his death, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, in the last few days of his life, he had to rotate from one household to the other, but then he felt very weak to keep moving and going from one place to the other. So he was longing to the day of Aisha to stay in her house. And he would keep saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aina ana ghadan, where am I going to be tomorrow? When am I going to be tomorrow? So they figured out, Ya Rasulullah, just stay in the house of Aisha. We'll come to visit you. Aisha, she reports the last few minutes of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to recite the Quran and do ruqya. With his blessed hand, he would wipe over his body to ease his pain. But then when he became physically weaker, he was unable even to use his hand to wipe over his body, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She used to grab him from behind, meaning she would leave his back on her chest. And she would hold his blessed hand, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she would recite the Qur'an for him, and with his hand, in her hand, she would wipe over his body to ease his pain. Until the last minute, she said, her brother came in, Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and he had a siwak in his hand, and he's now fixing himself before he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam abaddahu basarahu, which means he stared at him. She said, وَعَلِمْتُ أَنَّهُ يُحِبُّ السِّوَاكِ, I knew how much he loves the siwak. So she told him, shall I take it for you? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam nodded with his head, yes. He wasn't even able to say yes. So she took it for him, and she bit the tip of that siwak, and she fixed a new now tip for him, and she moisturized it with her saliva to make it soft for him, and then she gave it to the Prophet ﷺ. He starts cleaning his mouth and his teeth. She said, I have never seen the Prophet ﷺ doing it in a way that was better than that time, as if he was preparing for something very special to meet his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he raised his finger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said, fir rafiq al-a'la, fir rafiq al-a'la, in the higher companionship, in the higher companionship, which means the angel of death was coming and giving him the choice. Would you like to live longer, or is it time? He said, no, I would like to be with the higher companionship, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he puts his hand down, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Aisha, then she said, then I felt his weight on my chest. His soul departed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she was so proud of this, that she is telling an all women a message that I never let go of my husband until the last minute of his life, the last breath. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his last and final breath when his head was on my chest, and she keeps saying, Mata bayna haqinati wa daqinati. He passed away between my haqina and daqina, which is my chest and my chin, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And she was proud of something else, that the last thing ever got into the stomach of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was her saliva. Now, what kind of woman remembers these things from the life of her husband? Besides woman, other than a woman who loved her husband dearly, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. What kind of husband who kept remembering his wife even to the last moment? He was saying, where am I going to be tomorrow? Where am I going to be tomorrow? And he knows that he would like to stay in the house of Ummul Mu'mineen, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now, this is a true love story from the life of Muhammad, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Some people might say, well, where can we find this example in real life? Ya Shaykh, this is so ideal. Unfortunately, we have contaminated our minds with ideals besides the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the extent that now we're looking at his example as something like an ideal you can never reach. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given us the instruction at the end of Surah Al-Kahf, which we recite every single weekend, every Friday we recite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Qul, say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, قُلْ, tell the people, let them know. إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرْ. Say, O Muhammad, to the people, I am a human being. Some people might think, okay, he was a human, I believe that, but maybe he was a superior human being. Immediately after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِثْلُكُمْ, just like you. Leaving you no excuse to say he was a messenger of Allah. Allah says, yes, he was a human being just like you. The only difference, yuha ilay, who receives revelation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the greatest example in both spirituality, being the great messenger of Allah, and also in humanity, being the best example to mankind. That's why we always say, wa khayr al hadi, hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the best example is the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us all follow the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to be in his company in al-akhirah, in Jannat al-Firdaus. Aqulu qawli hadha, walhamdulillah rabbil alamin, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.